Evangelist Willett is, I think, 95 years old. He's had the privilege and the honor to travel with people such as William Branham, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts. He has seen some things in his life. And so I've asked, before we get into the message tonight, if he would come and just share a word with us. And he said, I might have a testimony or so to share. I imagine he has quite a few testimonies to share. So, Brother Willett, would you come up here and just greet the people and bless us? Hallelujah. Amen. Give Brother Willett a warm welcome.
God bless you. We're happy to be here tonight. I'm sure that the Lord has got something real good for us. He always does. But our brother asked me, we met him a week ago over at our house, and we had a good time of fellowship, praise the Lord. I believe that we're in the last days. Jesus is about to come. And what we've got to do is to do as fast as we can and as good as we can to move in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He's a real person, and he comes to meet us. Whenever we get serious with him, he'll get serious with us. And we have to pay a price to get what God has given us freely. Praise the Lord. It doesn't come cheap. When you get to where you can talk to heaven and talk to Jesus and talk to the Holy Ghost and he answers you back, then we're beginning to do what the disciples did or what the Pentecostal people did back at the beginning. Praise the Lord. We don't have to settle for anything less. A lot of people, once you've been in the move of God, you become addicted to it. And it's hard to go to a church where they sing three songs and have a 15-minute sermon, and then go home. I want to see God move. And if we want to see him move bad enough, we'll have the move of God. Praise the Lord. One day, a lady came to my house, and I had never met her before. She was a neighbor of ours, and we had just moved in that part of the country, Miracle Hills Road. And she said, my daughter has been gone for 3 years, and I don't know where she is. Said, we haven't heard from her. And she said, somebody told me that you can talk to the Holy Ghost and get an answer back. And she said, I need an answer. I said, lady, I'll pray, and I'll seek God. And when God tells me anything, I'll let you know. So she went home, tears running down her face. She was serious with God. And in a few days, I was sitting in my office just talking to the Lord. And it looked like a little television set right in front of me. And I saw a telephone booth. And there was a young girl in the telephone booth, and I'd never saw her before in my life, never heard about her. But Something spoke to me and said, that's Lisa, that lady's daughter. And she said she's calling home. And there's a young man standing outside of the phone booth. And said when she goes home, she's going to give her heart to the Lord, get saved. And I just picked up the phone and called Sister Royal and told her, I said, your daughter is going to call you. She's got a young man outside of the phone booth. And I said, that's all I can tell you. But when she got home, she said that young man was a truck driver and he was coming to Michigan from Sioux City, Iowa. And he was going to bring her home. But he had a call and he had to change his route. So her daddy got in his car and went down there and got her. And she came home and was only home for a few days. And she came up missing. And her mother called me and said, you told me that she was going to give her heart to the Lord when she came home. I said, just give her time. She went to her grandmother's house, and Sunday morning they went to church, and Lisa gave her heart to the Lord, called her mama and said, Mama, could you come and get me? I'm a Christian now. And she came home, gave her heart to the Lord. The whole family, her grandmother, her mother, and the whole family gave their heart to the Lord and are serving God today. Isn't the Lord good to us? And I want more of God. We can hear from heaven if we want to. We can do everything that God promised us we could do if we want to. But you've got to have something down inside that is burning and you want more of God. Hallelujah. He's so real. Praise the Lord. She has a little girl that's a Christian today and serving God. The whole family is serving God. If we will let God take our life and present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable after Jesus went through what he went through. Nailed to a cross, had his beard plucked out, stripes on his back. We have a reasonable service to him. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? I want more of God. He said that if we'll separate ourselves and serve God with all of our heart, those Peter and Paul, John and all the rest of the disciples were no better than we are. And we can do the same things that they did. We can have a move of God that'll stir this country. We read a prophecy the other night. Who was it? Read that? One of the girls over here read a prophecy that God is going to pour out of his spirit through the state of Alabama, and we're going to see fire hallelujah, fall from heaven, see the power of God move. I am hungry for more of God. He say that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah. He didn't say they might be. He said this is coming. We're in harvest time. Jesus is calling for laborers for in the harvest. He said in Acts 2:17, he says, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. Young men see visions. Also upon my servants and handmaidens in those days, I'll pour out of my spirit and they'll prophesy. And I'll show signs, wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. He's coming. And we need to do what we can to get men and women into the fold of God. Hallelujah. Reinhard Bonnke says we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. I love you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What can you learn from that? A whole lot. I'll tell you one thing that I can take away from that. It doesn't matter what your age is. Always be hungering for more of God in your life. A Christian should never retire, should never get to the place that he says, you know what? I'm fine exactly where I'm at when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn and look at that scripture that he just quoted. Because I can't quote it from memory like he can. In Acts chapter 2. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shobra kata singre bokote. Ki kroto sungra mande shigraba. Ki brokto skrabate si brokto skramande si klamande. Ki brongande si kroto sokrete. De brokta skrabate si krokohunde. Engrande skramande si krokoto shungrande si klemende. De brokto skrabate si kramenge de si klaba. Ki brokto skramenge. De skrobohunda si kramande si hiklemenge. Dos gramande si croto sun grande, descrabate si hicla baja, de brocote si grande si clamande, e brocto sucrebe, embrange de si hiclame de si clabaja tesique, de broctos clemende si clamande, e croto sungre, que te si crabata si craba, ingrede si cramande, e croto sucrande, embrang descraba y crede.
I am looking for a people that are hungry for me so that I can do great things that has not yet entered into the hearts of man. I called this church a long time ago to do great things. People got in the way. The enemy got in the way. But I'm telling you that you're moving into a new phase where my power will be present on each of you wherever you go. The very healing power of God will be present at Walmart. Financial blessings will be on you to the extent that you can do what you need to do for yourself, your family, and others. I'm telling you this night, we will never be the same. This church will never be the same because I, the Lord God Himself, will rest upon each individual with my healing power, with my blessing power, and wherever you go, you will be a blessing. But remember, it's me that is the blessing, not you. It's the power that is in my word, not just in your desires. You've been taught well. You know me and you know my voice. But from this night on, you'll be like Moses. The children of Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. So I'm calling you to stay in the word, hunger for the word, know my ways. And as you know my ways and follow my voice, there'll be great exploits.
Hallelujah. Let's give him praise for that. Glory to your name, Father. We receive that. We believe it. We mix faith with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. As we are entering into this wonderful time, as our church, as the body of Christ, we have to mix faith with the Word of God. You have to believe the things that He has spoken. And what He says here is, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Even unsaved flesh. He's pouring out of His Spirit, and His Spirit's going out throughout the whole world on all flesh. Now, He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Let's look at that again. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And the next, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, this is a prophecy that was given in Joel chapter 2. And in the book of Acts, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. This is the beginning of what God is doing throughout the whole earth. And so they experienced this in the early church. Now, He's not talking about the fivefold ministry here, although that's included in this prophecy. But He says, all flesh, your sons, your daughters, handmaidens, everybody should be led and flowing in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to flow through them. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it's verse 29 or so, and we looked at this last week. He says, when all of you come together, somebody has a doctrine. Another, you may have a song. Somebody else may have a prophecy, a tongue, an interpretation. And he is talking to the church. And that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights, is we're getting past the leadership operating in the gifts of the Spirit. What you just saw was the gift of tongues and interpretation in operation. But I'm a pastor. I'm not sure what Dad is now. He used to be a pastor. He's a teacher, and he has been commissioned to go out. And so that we've been part of the ministry. But how about tongues and interpretation happening out here? That's where we're going. So tonight, I want to talk to you about getting into position to be used by God. Positioning yourself to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. How can I be put into a place that God can use me in the middle of a service? So I want to give you some practical things, and then let's just see what God does tonight, okay? Number one, you'll never be used by God if you never expect to be used by Him. Too often we talk about wanting to be used by God, but we never really have faith that God will use us. Why is that? Well, to begin with, Satan comes with condemning thoughts. And so something that you're going to have to get over is looking at your own worthiness to be used by God. The grace of God has been given to all and has been shed abroad for all. And the Bible says where sin doth abound, grace much more abounds. Let me tell you, if God said that He is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh and that He wants to use you, then who are we to say, God, I can't be used by you. God, I'm not worthy. God, I don't have it all together yet. God, and just allow thought after thought after thought to come in and to keep you from stepping into the things of God. So to be used, you've got to start seeing yourself the way the Father God sees you. And that is a vessel, a child that is ready to serve and to be used by Him. Do you know that God wants to use you more? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that the gifts of the Spirit is given to all to profit everybody else. Do you know that God wants to use you more than you want to be used? So it's just time for us to align ourselves with what God has said. So that's number one. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the last verse of that chapter says this: now abides faith, hope, and charity or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. At the beginning of that, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So he's just describing the different gifts of the Spirit. But here's what I want you to recognize, is that all of these gifts don't mean anything unless they are done out of love. So how do you position yourself to be used by God? Turn with me over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now let's look at verse 20. Let's look at verse 31. John chapter 14, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. He said over in John chapter 5, he said, the works that I do, he said, I'm not doing out of myself. It is the Father in me that does the works. And what I see my Father do, that's what I do. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old? They found him in the temple. They looked for him for 3 days. And when they finally found him, he looked surprised. And he said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus' love for his Father caused him to want to do what the Father said, caused him to want to live life after the Father and allow the Father to live through him. His love for him then produced love for others. And so everywhere he went, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. When he saw people that were sick, it wasn't the fact that he had the power that caused him to heal. It was the fact that the compassion on the inside of him and the love of God is what caused him to move in that gift of healing, because he knew that he had something, and it was his love for the Father that then created love for everybody else. To position yourself to be used by God in the gifts, you have to make sure that your motivation and that your purpose is right, and it is to love God and to simply be used by him. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, he said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, this is a key. This is a huge key. Be clothed with humility. Be subject one to another. Flowing in the gifts of the Spirit is not about you. It's not to be seen by others. You don't get up here so that other people will see how spiritual you are. You have to constantly check your purpose and your motive, because this is a time for uplifting the body of Christ and being obedient to what, and having letting the Holy Spirit have his way in you. So he said, be clothed with humility, because look at this, for God resisteth the proud. Now, if God's resisting those who are proud, then what that tells me is that God, if he's going to pour out his Spirit and want the gifts of the Spirit to operate through somebody, and if he's looking for somebody in the congregation to use, the person that is proud is somebody that might get skipped over. Pride will stop you from being used by God. It will also keep you from stepping out in faith in the things of God. Because what if you step out and you say something and you do something and you mess up? Can I tell you that you're probably going to make a mistake? How many of you hear the voice of God perfectly all the time, every day? Probably Brother Willett's the only one that does. So if you're imperfect in your ability to hear God's voice, then guess what? You might miss it. But should that stop you from being used by God? Absolutely not. Because it's in that stepping out of faith that you start really developing the ability to hear God's voice more and more and more. And this is what we would call a safe place. If you can't step out on faith and do things around a fellow body of believers, then I've said it before, you will not do it out in the marketplace. You will not do it at your work. You will not do it around your family. So it's here that you have to get rid of the pride. And when you get rid of the pride, God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace. He gives grace to those that have humility. He gives grace to those that want to submit himself to him and just allow that, whatever you want to do, God, in my life. Get pride out. Look at the next verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility is the pathway. That's why it says over in Acts chapter 2, and upon my servants and my handmaidens. What does that tell you? People have made a choice. They're going to yield to God. They're going to serve God. And upon those servants and upon those handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Why? Because they have yielded themselves to God. Positioning yourself to be used by God. Making a decision. God, it's not about me. I want you to be glorified in my life and to flow through me. I want to be used by you, Father, to allow the glory that resides on the inside of me to extend to those around me, not that I may be seen, Father, but that you may be seen and your Son Jesus will be glorified through me. Positioning yourself to be used by God. So you must have faith. You must get rid of condemnation. Stop looking at yourself as somebody who can't be used. Number three, do it in love. Make sure that love is the foundation of everything that you do. Number four, get rid of pride. Walk in humility. And then let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. No, Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus said over in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Well, God's never told me to do anything like that, Pastor Mark. Well, maybe he has, and you just didn't hear him. Did you know that God is speaking to you all the time? God is guiding you. God is leading you. God is telling you what he wants you to do. What Brother Willett described, I had no idea what testimony he was going to give or what he was going to share. But what he described is that during his prayer time, he saw the girl in a telephone booth. Remember last week we talked about seeings and knowings and that spiritual vision will be increased in your life? Expect that. Every day, expect that. Expect that you're going to know things. Expect that you're going to walk in those things. Mix faith with that. Wherefore, seeing that we also, verse 1, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How do you hear the voice of God? I'm going to say this very quickly. Something that the Lord shared with me that rocked my world, shocked where I was. I was praying one day, about that scripture in John chapter 10. I was like, God, Jesus, you said that my sheep shall hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I said, why do I keep following the wrong voice? He said, because the other voices aren't a stranger to you. In other words, what he said in that one word showed me everything that I needed to know. I continued to put television and movies and maybe the wrong music and reading the wrong things. And those were, and listening to the news and a talk radio and all of those kinds of things. And those were the voices and the words that I'm putting in on a daily basis, on a daily basis. And so when it came time to do something, naturally, I wanted to go with the voice I was comfortable with. My sheep know my voice. How do sheep know the voice of the shepherd? They spend time with the shepherd. They don't come to church on just Sunday morning and then expect to hear the voice of the shepherd all week long, without praying, without meditating in the word. God is wanting to get his instructions to you, but you have to be in position to listen and become comfortable with the voice of God. How do you do that? Go to his word. We should be spending time in his word every day. Spend time in prayer. During that time of prayer, you begin that relationship with God and you start hearing things from God. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, because the Bible says that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, when you're praying in other tongues, you are edifying, you are building up yourself. And as you build yourself up, you start hearing things, you start seeing things, you become familiar with the voice of God. And then you have to do this. You have to, back in verse 1, you have to make some decisions in life. Now, the grace of God has been given you for you to walk in the gifts. But you will not walk in those unless you decide to accept the grace of God by faith. And faith without works is dead. What that means is that if you're going to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, it's going to create a lifestyle change for you. You have to make some decisions. One of those decisions, and let's go back to verse 1, is, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that gets us off track. Hunger, thirst after the things of God. Positioning yourself to receive from God. Now, let's see what God wants to do tonight. Over the next few weeks, as we continue to move into these things, this is not a time of teaching and teaching and teaching, and then hopefully at the end of the series, you do it. This is a time for us to allow ourselves to be used by God. Period. What that means is that there are some that are ready to step out into the things of God and allow themselves to be used by God. And there are others that are still not comfortable with that. And that's just fine. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to force you to do anything. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 14. And let's look at what can happen to help build your expectation for just a moment. Now, the concern that a pastor or a minister would have is that somebody might get up and miss it. or decide that they're going to go for 15 or 20. Once you give some people the mic, they don't want to shut up. Hello? So how do we handle that? How do we handle that? What if you're just kind of going off on a tangent? And what if it's time that God wants to use somebody else? This is where you need to be. Are you ready? The Bible says, and we read it, everyone be subject to one another, but God does place authority in the church. That authority that he has placed in this church to lead this church is me. And if I recognize that it's time for us to move on, then I will take my place as pastor and I will stand up, even though you don't feel like you're finished yet. When I start coming this way, guess what? You're finished. But I might get upset at that. I might get offended. Then get over it, because that's your pride talking, and God will not be using you if your pride is what's getting in the way. Humility will submit to the things of God and will submit to what God is doing through the leadership. And it's not to be ugly. You know, I'm not an ugly guy. I'm easy to get along with. It is that God places order in the church. And there is a reason why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 14, because the church service became very disorderly. A lot of people were getting up and speaking in tongues and doing different things, and it was creating a little chaos inside the church. And so what Paul wanted them to know is that you can stop whatever it is you're doing. He said the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. What does he mean by that? Even though you feel like you have to give a word, you have control over what is going on, and you can keep it down. What if God gave you a revelation? I was saying here in 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to get into some practical stuff. In verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone has a song or has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation? Now let me stop with has a revelation, because throughout the week, we're all getting revelation. So everybody wants to get up and give their revelation. You need to make a distinction. This is very practical, okay? Who is the revelation for? Ask yourself that question. Did God reveal something to you for you? For instance, there are some ministers that God has showed them that they don't need to drink coffee. It's not good for them. The danger is you'll take that revelation and you'll get up and then you'll start preaching that revelation that God showed you to everybody else. That revelation was for you for a specific reason. It wasn't for you to turn around and preach to everybody else. So what you have to do is you have to discern, are the things that you're getting from God, are they for you, or are they for the benefit of the other people in the congregation? See, Paul was all about, he said, seek the best gift. And he said, the best gift is to prophesy. Why? Because prophecy blesses the other people. It edifies others. He was always thinking about, how can I do the best for other people? That's where you need to be. Is what you have to encourage others? Will it bless others? Or is it just something that God shared with you? Okay? Very practical. Has tongues, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And then in another place, he says, let everything be done decently and in order. That's verse 40. Let everything be done decently and in order. So, let's see what God has tonight. Okay? This is the way we're going to do this. if, as we start praying in the Spirit and as we start ministering unto the Lord, if you feel like that the Lord has given you something to say, it could be a message in tongues, it could be a word of knowledge, it could be a revelation, it could be anything, then just simply raise your hand or step out and come right up here. And at that point, I'll ask you to come forward or whatever it is, okay? But what if nothing happens tonight? Then guess what? Nothing happened tonight. See, the gifts of the Spirit are not for us to make happen. Yes, I want to walk in the gifts. I want all of this. That doesn't matter. The gifts of the Spirit are for the Holy Spirit to pour out amongst people. And it says, as He wills, not as I will. And if you don't get anything, it's all right. And just because somebody else got something doesn't make that person more spiritual than you. It's everybody being a blessing and edifying one another. Okay, are y'all expecting? Are you ready? All right, stand up with me, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's spend some time for you that know how to do this, you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's just start praying in the Spirit right now. Glory to God. Just give Him praise. If you want to pray in English, that's fine. But let's open up the Spirit of God and allow Him to flow. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You.